Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to take a look at the readings the church gives us, the first reading at Mass today, as throughout this last week and a half or so, looking at excerpts from the beloved apostle, St. John's writing, from his first letter. It's just so good, so rich. And I love to read John because John speaks with the heart of a pastor, but also with just a renewed and a clear mind under the help and direction of the Holy Spirit, helping us understand and see who we are in Christ, our identity, the nature of the battle, the things that we're up against. And mostly what I find helpful is he describes the life of a disciple. What does a disciple look like? What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner, learning the life of Jesus, learning how to walk in the footsteps of Christ, and with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, living in a community that's hopefully always maturing in the church, receiving the graces that are present through the sacraments, and living from the Word of God, listening to the teaching of the apostles and the Lord Himself. The grace of the Holy Spirit at work within us, helping us be conformed to the person of Jesus, and in the unique gifting and the way God created us, each and every one of us are different, are unique, and we can respond to the call to discipleship in a unique way. We all do things in common, as John says, we seek to please him. What does it mean to be a disciple? He said we love him, we express that love through obeying his commandments, and throughout our days, what we want to do is day in and day out to seek to please him. Now, we do it imperfectly. That's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation. That's why we have the help within the church. Jesus knows. And the great thing about the Lord is, and our good Father, God the Father, every little step we take, every effort, no matter how small, to love God and to love our neighbor is pleasing to God. He's in our corner. He wants us to keep coming with him, keep growing. He gave his son to us, and he wants us to have more and more of his son's life in us. And despite what the world might think, it doesn't diminish us to be like someone else. It enhances us, and that's even a too small of a word, you might say, too inadequate of a word, that it enhances us. It transforms us. And the person we were meant to be, made to be from the beginning, Jesus is going to bring us into the absolute fullness of everything that God the Father has intended for us. So this Christian life is a life fundamentally of relationship with a loving Father, under the lordship and majesty of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who leads us to be conformed to Jesus. And that conforming is not this legalistic, minimalistic, strange perspective that we naturally have in our fallen mind and fallen heart, that somehow there's an external pressure forcing us to be something other than I want to be. That if I get too serious about this, it's going to ruin my weekend. All the fun stuff in life's going to go away. And it's such a deception. What that reveals is a few things. Number one, we don't know Christ. He's the treasure. And to be able to be united to him and to know his love and to know his power, there's literally nothing like it. You take the Super Bowls, the Stanley Cup, the college, you know, the Final Four, whatever, everything the world loves and thinks is big news, put them all together, it doesn't compare. There's no limit as well. We're made for him. We're made by him and for him. And only being in communion and union with him and just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper with him, will we ultimately find satisfaction and peace and joy that we all long for. So there's a misunderstanding of that, first of all. And second of all, there's the deception that somehow we can actually find fulfillment according to our own light and according to our own resources. And that's just not real. That's just not true, right? So nothing better than to walk in Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're being brought into the relationship between God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's going to last forever. This is why John, the beloved apostle, keeps calling us in the letter, beloved, beloved, beloved. Who he said, and God is love. He says, God is a trinity of persons, eternally in love, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that the love pours out from God, the nature of God. And from it comes creation. And from it comes you. You're God's idea. You know, God made you to share in all this. The devil wants us to doubt it, to fear it, to be indifferent toward it. In one way or another, he wants to distract us to the point where we misunderstand the reality of what we're being offered here. So what we need is discernment. So one of the things I'd like to do today's program here is to touch on something I didn't get to yesterday, in yesterday's reading, which John is teaching us something about spiritual discernment. Here's what he said. He said, "Beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, I have to say that one of the wisest teachers in the history of Christianity, Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, just came up with solid gold in helping the church discern spirits. He had in his exercises, there's a section called the 14 Rules of the Discernment of Spirits. And that's been a big part of my life the last 20 years. And it's right there in my journal. Periodically, I look at it, maybe on a weekly basis, and kind of go through those 14 rules. And I would recommend those to anybody who wants to know something more about the discernment of spirits. And Jesuits are also great on discernment of God's will. Ignatius was just golden. And of course, the Jesuit community has built on that over the years, and they become teachers to so many people in the body of Christ. So for a fuller understanding of discernment of spirits, I just want to send you in that direction. Now, I did a series of radio shows on that a few years ago. I think you can still find that on our website at renewalministries.net if that's going to be a help to you if you're interested. So John is saying, don't trust every spirit. Okay, we inhabit a world, a fallen world, and there's dark spirits in this world. Satan and those who are subject to him are at war against you and me, and we're embodied spirits. We're spiritual people. We're not just spiritual people. We're embodied spirits. We have physical bodies, but God's spirit is within us. We have a spirit created in us. We have a soul, and the enemy seeks to attack us right at the core of our being, and often he does it with deception, seductions and deceptions. So it's important to be careful to have a mind that's alert and awake, like the apostles talk about, that's alive to the word of God. For example, just one of the ways you can really overcome false teachers and false prophets and the deceptions of the devil is to know the word of God. The more you know it, the more it'll cleanse your mind, the more it'll strengthen you and give you a capacity to make the right kind of discernment. John says there's false teachers that were among them that have gone out into the world, but they taught deceptive lies within the body of Christ itself. And he said, it needs discernment and clarity to be able to withstand it and to know what's going on. He says, this is how you can know the Spirit of God. Here's an example. He said, every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God. And every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. This is important. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is not like, okay, yeah, he was this historical person, and yeah, some think he was a prophet, some think he was a spiritual guru of different kinds. You know, some even claim that he was a unique son of God in some way. Right now, today, there is a profound attack, a deep deception, false prophets speaking and trying to get people in the world and in the church to believe that Jesus was a nice guy who was one of history's most enlightened people. And to that degree, we should follow him and pay attention to him. But he's not the incarnate Son of God. And to the degree that he might be, quote unquote, Son of God, we're all sons of God. We're all in their mind. They'll say, oh, everybody is. Everybody's already Son of God, daughter of God, or everyone already is the Christ. Like somehow every human being has the Christ in them in the way that the New Testament talks about it. And so that this is a popular thing that's floating around with different spiritual writers, even within the Catholic Church, that somehow, for example, that the real battle with every person is simply that we're living under a false self. Now, there's some truth to that. And that enlightenment or salvation or something is these things are connected to gaining the right kind of knowledge that allows me to overcome the lies of the false self within me. And by overcoming the false self, I come to realize that I already have the Christ in me. And that's enlightenment. And as long as I have that knowledge, I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to be a Catholic. I don't need to be a Christian. I just need to come to this understanding. And so anybody who has this enlightenment around the world is already the Christ and united to the Christ, and the Christ is in me. And just as the Christ was in Jesus, the Christ is in me. So I mean, there's a lot more to it. I'm just trying to summarize what kind of a common, it's New Age-ish, it's pantheistic, it's Gnostic, it's got a little bit of all that in there. And it's a lie. What John is talking about here, about acknowledging Jesus Christ come in the flesh, that what he means is that, yes, Jesus Christ is the unique and only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. This is why salvation is possible, not because Jesus was a philosopher like a bunch of other enlightened thinkers, and all these people are the ones who help us collectively to have enlightenment, and enlightenment is salvation. No, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's God's only Son, and he came into the world to deal with a not just lack of enlightenment, he came to deal with the sin problem, which produces the death problem in the human race, and he came to destroy it. He came to destroy the enemies that are set against us. There's a real devil. There are real demons. The world, the flesh, and the devil are really our enemies. It's real. And he's contesting for us. He's coming to do battle to save us, and he did it through the cross. The shedding of his blood cleanses us from sin. It's not just my knowledge, a unique knowledge, a kind of insight or something that saves me. Christ saves me, period. That's where it comes from, the blood of Jesus on the cross and the offering of his life to the Father on our behalf. And the only way we pass from death to life is to have within us the Christ life, the Jesus Christ life, the incarnate one who is raised from the dead, and he's at the right hand of the Father, exalted in heaven. The glory of God is in him, and he pours out that glory. He pours out that life. We call it the Holy Spirit, the Christ life, the third person of the Trinity. And God comes to dwell in us as in a temple, and we're born again by water and the Spirit in baptism. That's what salvation is. It's not just some kind of New Age-ish enlightenment. The problem with all that is it's false, first of all. It's a deception, and it's the constant pride of the human race that just simply wants to save itself. We don't really need to say, I can save myself through enlightenment. And by the way, going that road, I can live the life I want to live. I don't have to follow commandments like John is talking about here in relationship to Jesus. So it was on. And every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. This is important. Every spirit, every false teaching in the world that posits another God, that posits another way of salvation, this comes from the Antichrist spirit. There will be a historical person before Jesus returns that rises, and the Antichrist will lead a tremendous rebellion against the kingdom of God and against the church. But understand, there's one Savior, there's one Lord, and that's Jesus. And to come to him, to say yes to him, and as John says, to confess and believe in his name, this is the will of God. And to confess and believe in his name means to radically surrender your life in trust to him. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.